We're going to jump into God's Word tonight. I'm glad you guys are with us. We're still in our series called The Reason Why. And tonight we're looking at the reason for faith. What is it that brings us together in groups like this? So we're singing songs to Jesus and we are worshiping and we're studying the Word. Why do we do that? And tonight we're asking the question, why do we have faith? What is it that we're believing in? What is this reason for this? And we always know that every single answer to every one of these questions is going to be Jesus. But what is it about Jesus that makes us have faith? And so tonight we're seeing how Jesus has power. And not only just power, but power over life and death. And so we're still in this passage we've been walking through in Acts chapter 3. If you guys want to open up there at home with us, we're going to be reading verses 11 to 16 tonight, tuning into this part of this thing that happens in Acts where this lame man gets healed. And as you guys get open to your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, I need to share this because something happened with me when I was in elementary school, and it reminded me so much of this story right now that we're in. I was sitting in the back of the class, and not quite in the very back row, but I had this buddy behind me who was kind of like the bad guy in the class. You know, he was always the one causing trouble. He wanted to be the class clown. He was always pushing the rules. And I was kind of like the goody-goody. Like, I was the one who was telling on kids who did bad stuff. You know, like, I was hated by many, you know, but I just didn't know how to, like, do that stuff. And I liked hanging out with this kid because he made me feel, like, crazy, you know? Like, I was like a rebel when I was with him. So he would get me to do certain things. But most of the time, I'd wuss out. I couldn't do it, and I'd just, like, sit there. And there was this girl who sat in the very first row, and her name was Brittany. I remember her name because she was so proper, and she even said her name very proper, like Brittany. It wasn't Brittany. I'd be like, Brittany, what's up, girl? And she'd be like, Brittany. And I was like, okay. So I knew she was very proper. She was like a Southern belle. She always was, like, perfectly clean and groomed, and, like, just everything disgusted her. It was one of those type of girls, you know, that were just, everything was so, like, in order in her life. And she's sitting in the front row, and this class clown is behind me, and I'm kind of like right in the middle of them. And as we're in the middle of class, I think it was math class. I don't remember what was going on the board, but all I can remember is hearing this like behind me just shoot by my head. And I had no idea what was going on until I saw Brittany up there in the front row. And she was just like, ah, like one of those, like slapping her neck. Like, what was that? And I kind of peek back to see this straw in the mouth of the dude behind me. And I realized in that moment, as I felt a little bit of wet kind of dribbles on my face when it happened, he had just spit the biggest, nastiest spitball through that straw. And he perfectly nailed Brittany right in the neck. And it was one of those just like whack moments, you know. And so, of course, he hides behind me. And the dude, Brittany in the front, she turns around and she looks straight at me in one of those moments where I'm just figuring out what happened. So on my face, I look guilty, but it wasn't me, you know. So I'm just like, like a deer in the headlights, like, I didn't do it, I swear. You know, one of those that nobody believes when you say it. And she's like, no. And you should have seen Brittany get up. I mean, she was just like, woo, she was on fire mad with me. And she's like running around the classroom like, ah, like disgusted by this spit. And she's like, ah, ah, like wanting to throw up. It was like this crazy moment. And the teacher, oh man, everybody blamed me. I couldn't get out of it. This kid never actually fessed up for doing it. And it's just one of those moments where you kind of get credited for something that wasn't at all your fault. Or you had really nothing to do with, but you were just kind of there in the moment. And this is one of those stories tonight. This part of the passage, these two guys that we're looking at, Peter and John, they're a part of an amazing thing. It's powerful what's happening. Like, they just walked up to the temple. They see this guy who's there who hasn't walked, and he's like over 40 years old. So people know his story. He's been around. He's been lame, sitting in front of the temple, begging for a long time. This is well known. And when they come up and they're able to like talk to this guy, and he all of a sudden the Lord's like, I'm healing him through you. And boom, this guy's able to stand up and walk and leap and jump and praise God. And so when all the people see it, immediately it's that moment where they're like, you did it, you know? And the apostles are like, you know, like it wasn't us. Like, we didn't do it. And so read with me Acts chapter 3, verses 11 to 16, and you'll see what I'm saying. While he clung to Peter and John, this is right after he got healed, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant whom you delivered over, denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, he has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So here's the student. It says right away, he's clinging to Peter and John. It's awesome to see what happens to people. These sweet relationships that develop when you're able to bring someone to a point where they're transformed. When we introduce people to the one who can transform, there's an awesome relationship that flourishes between you and that person. It's called the body of Christ. That's what happens is we come together and we get to see Jesus work through us and change our lives. As we get to see students come and accept Jesus and be baptized like we're going to see in a couple weeks together. There's this amazing thing that we get to stand together and witness transformation. And when we together see the power of God, it builds these awesome relationships that cause us to cling together as his church, as his family, as his people. And that's exactly what's happening here. This guy's clinging to Peter and John. And it says that all the people, now stop right there. All the people, like everybody around had seen this. This wasn't just a small event, like something that happened in a back alley and some people thought it was pretty cool. Everybody that was there stood in awe. This thing was miraculous. It was astounding. It was huge. They saw the power of Jesus. And that was no small thing. All the people, it says, were utterly astounded. Like nobody had an explanation. This event required an explanation. People gathered because they're like, this doesn't just happen every day. I don't walk down the street and just see men who could never walk stand up and dance around and sing and leap. Like that doesn't just happen. We need an explanation. And there are some events in our lives and things that happen to us where they do require an explanation. And people are going to come up to you and say, what is different? What has transformed in your life? What has been changed? Because you are not the same person. When God takes you from death to life, when God takes a broken person who's just stuck in sin, and his son comes into your life and changes your heart, and you become a totally different person, that requires an explanation. That is miraculous. It is no small event. And when people see that change in you, they'll probably ask, like, what's different about you? And that's exactly what they're doing here. Like, what just happened? And I pray that you and I are ready in those moments, in those times where we can give an explanation for why we're different and for the miracle that God has done in our hearts. That's more powerful than any physical miracle we could ever be witness to. But that he changed my life. He made me want him more than sin. And it says, look what happened with the people. It says that they ran together to him in the portico called Solomon's. This transformation drew them together. In curiosity, you know, some people were doubting, some people were cynics, but they were there, and they're all asking the same question. And when God moves, people want to know. People want a reason why. They want an explanation for it. And when Peter, it says, saw it, he had addressed the people. Peter was ready. He knew that there needed to be an explanation here. He was probably excited that he got the opportunity to be like, yeah, you guys want to know what happened? Check this out. I want to tell you. So let's be aware that God gives us moments like that too, opportunities where we get to share. I would urge you, have eyes that are always looking for that person that's around you, that God's moving in. It might be just in a conversation at lunch or out to coffee or while you're playing a sport or just hanging out. Like, but God's always working. Have an eye that's looking for that one person that God's like, hey, have a conversation with them. Share with them what's going on in your life. Give them an explanation. But God's working, so be looking where you can step in and be like Peter here and stand up and address these people because you have the reason. When they're asking why, you know it if you follow Jesus. And so share it. hand it out freely, like give it to people. Let people know the reason why you believe in Jesus Christ, why you have faith. And here's what Peter says. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety, we've made him walk? You see, he was very clear not to take this as his own credit. Peter wasn't going to take any sort of glory that didn't belong to him. He's saying, this is not me. This wasn't John. This was God at work here, and we don't want you to miss the power of God. We didn't do this miracle. We were here. We were a part of it. God used us, but we can't take credit for it. I love how they trusted God and gave him credit for what God did. And you can do that too. God can work through you in that way. God can heal lives, restore people, change hearts, transform, and do all sorts of unbelievable things, miraculous things through you if you trust God and you believe. And you give him the credit for what he's done. And be present. Be there. Be willing. And then he says this next. He says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. What he's doing here is he's preaching the gospel. He's letting them hear the gospel. Listen to this. Whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. Because the Israelites had done that, right? The Jews. And when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One. And asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life. Whom God raised from the dead. This is the gospel story as it was at work in these people's own lives. Like these were men who were standing around that were probably still in some of these things he's talking about right here. This wasn't just like some theological talk or doctrine or some history lesson. This was happening in their lives. He's telling them a story they lived through that they knew. And it was the gospel at work, Jesus coming and dying for each of these people and their own reactions to it. I love that he was able to just be so direct and so relevant and present with them in this. It didn't have to be some lofty conversation. It was just truth. God's already working in you. God's working in all of us. As we sit here tonight, God is at work in every single person on this stage. He's at work in your life and the people in your house or wherever you're at tonight. God is always working. And he's working to transform people, transform each of us. We're a work in progress. And so as you think about the gospel, think about how it is now at work in your heart, in your life, in your friends. And trust God because he wants to do some incredible things through you. If God has the power to raise Jesus, if he has the power to take you as a sinner who's born dead, each of us, right? We're born in death. And give us new life, give us eternal life and salvation. God has the power to do things your mind can't even comprehend. If you would trust him, if you'd be present, if you'd say, yes, Lord, as you speak, I'm going to obey. Peter says this next. He says, to this we are witnesses. They watched these things happen. They watched Jesus do these incredible things. And you know, you and I aren't like, just because 2,000 years have passed from this event, doesn't mean we don't get to watch Jesus work every single day. He's always at work. He's doing things right in front of your eyes. If you'll open them enough to see, if you have your eyes fixed on things above and not on things of the earth, you'll see the spiritual things he's doing all around you. The people he's bringing into your life and saying, hey, why don't you talk to them? Why don't you love them? Why don't you serve that person? If you'd have the moment to just stop and say, Lord, what is it you'd have me do right now? You're going to see God do miracles you never expected to happen in very unexpected places because you stopped and you listened for the voice of the Lord. It says, in his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong. You know that there is no other name that has power like this. Only Jesus can bring the dead back to life. Only Jesus can transform and heal and fix problems in a way that's actually substantive. There's no one else but Jesus that can do that. And there are lots of things that want us to trust. There are lots of things that want our attention and want us to place our trust in them. Find our comfort in them in the hard times. But it's Jesus. Every single time you will be let down by all of these other things. But Jesus will never do that. Jesus will always be there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you put your trust in him, he is the only name. And it says next, whom you see and know. You know, maybe you are the miracle that people are seeing. Maybe your life being transformed, other people are looking at it and they're astounded. Maybe you're the walking miracle that's walking into your school every week and people are watching you going, what in the world? I don't get it. Think of yourself as the miracle because God has transformed your life. He's brought you back from death. That's miraculous. Your very testimony, you might think is boring. Like, man, I was saved when I was a little kid. And like, I never was this drug dealer and like killed people and robbed banks. And then all of a sudden now I'm preaching the gospel. I don't have this crazy story. Your story is just as crazy. You were a sinner who was dead and Jesus rose you back to life and forgave your sin. That's unbelievable. And people might be looking at you and you're the miracle they're seeing. Be bold about your grace story. Share it with people. Let people know what God's done and be overjoyed by it. Let them know God is the God who has power and only by his name can people be saved. And believe it with your heart. Let it change you, transform you every day. He finishes by saying this, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. The reason for faith is because Jesus' name has power over death and life. He can bring people back from the dead. He can give eternal life to people who are lost sinners. I love that students have been getting saved around here over the last few weeks, and we're going to be baptizing in a couple weeks. And I love that we have been able to get to see that transformation together. We've gotten to see God grab hold of hearts of people who are like, man, I didn't know Jesus before. I didn't know I was on my way to heaven. And all of a sudden today they can stand before us and say, I know I'll be with God forever. My sins are forgiven. I now know the God of the universe. And the cool thing is we got to see those students do that. And we're going to get to see them do that in a form of baptism where they express that that's happened already in their hearts in a few weeks. And I hope you guys are here to join us for that on October 7th. It's going to be an awesome night to just sit in the presence of the Lord and watch miracles happen. Watch transformation be expressed in people we know. You know, these guys, they knew this paralyzed guy for a long time. And so when they saw him get up and walk, they were amazed. And we get to see students, and maybe some of you tonight are like that paralyzed guy. And maybe tonight God's working in your heart and he's working that miracle and he's working it transforming you and giving you a new life. And maybe tonight you want to accept Jesus as your savior so that he will do that. I'd love for you to DM us if you're watching. Call Firehouse. If you're watching us, you know how to get a hold of us. So do that and let's have a conversation. Let's talk about how you can know Jesus and you can be transformed. And for those of you who know Jesus, come and celebrate with us in a couple weeks. And let's watch this transformation together. And so we're going to pray. And as we pray, I just want you to have that in your heart. Would you just ask the Lord to do that in you? Whether you've believed in Jesus for years, I want you to ask him to continue transforming your life. And maybe tonight you don't know Jesus and tonight you want to be transformed. Even as we're sitting on this stage and you're at home, you can pray this with us too. And just say, Lord, will you forgive my sin? Will you transform me? And will you save me? So I want to invite you right now. Will you pray? Father, we love you so much. God, thank you that you're a God that transforms, that your name is powerful. God, over life and death. That there is no other name by which a man can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Your son who died on a cross for us, who rose again from the dead, who gives us eternal life. Father, thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I do pray for my brothers and sisters who are wanting to see more transformation in their heart every day. God, will you do that in them? Give them greater faith. Give them boldness as they speak their story about what you've done in their heart and in their life. And Lord Jesus, for those who are sitting here tonight, God, and they don't know you yet, would you hear them as they pray to you and ask you to forgive their sin? As they ask you tonight to be their savior, as they hand their life over to you and say, God, I'm yours. Will you save them, Father? And Jesus, we love you so much.
We know that you are our reason to have faith, and we believe. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.